Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. Today with me, I have my friend Matt Singers. He is an expert in hiring and delegating, pretty much a coach. And I've been hearing from a lot of friends that he's an expert on this. So what's up, Matt?
What's up? Doing well. How about yourself, Tom?
Doing well too, man. So we spoke a little bit before the call, and the main topic I wanted to address is delegating high skill tasks, right?
Yep.
Because we always have problems with that. You know, if we have something simple to do, we can go on Fiverr, we can go on Upwork, you know, get a blog post written, get some graphics designed. But there are certain things that require thinking, right?
Yep.
And creativity. And those are hard to give up, you know, as a business owner, because it's like, well, if I'm not going to think, who is, right? It's just that idea that we have. But sometimes, like, we still have to let them go. And, you know, we talked about copywriting, because I feel like that's like a very creative, high-end task. You know, if your sales page doesn't convert, you're done, right? So a lot of people don't have that skill. So I want to talk with you about how would you approach finding someone and just even thinking about that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, in general, if we take copywriting specifically, there's a couple of ways I personally like to look at things. So copywriting, depending on your business, is potentially something that you aren't going to do consistently all the time over and over again, right?
Yeah.
When I look at high-level tasks, so that could be copywriting, high-level web dev, that could be funnel building, etc., depending on your business, I really recommend people looking at their business and saying, is this something we need consistently? Or is this something that we can hire an expert to do as a once-off, right? And obviously, there's a lot more to the equation than just sitting down and thinking about it. But generally, like when it comes to specialized skills, so that could, for example, be setting up funnels, or that could, for example, be running Facebook ads, right? Now, you might have a business that need a full-time person doing that, and if that is the case, it totally makes sense to try and hire someone, right? The other option, though, if you are not in a situation where you will need someone full-time for it, it can make a ton of sense to actually find either an agency or freelancer or someone that you know up front is an absolute expert in this area and who can help you close the gap you have, right? The reason why I look at it like that is because when you hire people and grow them within your business, the learning curve, if people aren't experts already, often takes a bit of time. And Facebook ads is probably one of the best examples. Like, often if you're trying to run Facebook ads, you're trying to see, is this a feasible lead generation method, right? Like, can we actually make a positive ROI with Facebook ads?
Yeah.
Now, everything else being equal, if you have an expert doing it, they're more likely to be able to test the hypothesis for you than if you bring someone on board and it's like, hey, sit down, take this Facebook ads course and try and figure out how to do, right? So, like, honestly, I love bringing people up to speed, etc. I love developing my team, but there's just certain skill sets and areas where the cost of doing it can be really, really high, right? And Facebook ads is definitely one of the examples where I personally generally tend to engage someone from the outside to actually help do that, right? Now, if you do go down the route and saying, this is something we have full-time work for, let's say a copywriter, so let's say you're writing a ton of copy consistently, right? Again, the question of who you're going to get is really depending on your budget, right? Generally, there's sort of three types of people you can hire. You can, again, hire people who are absolutely expert from the get-go. Now, sometimes that can be really, really, really expensive. And sometimes you have a business that can sustain that, and sometimes you don't. Mm. The second option is to find someone who is relatively new in the area and don't have that much of a track record, but again, seems like an amazing individual who can learn over time. Right, they're often significantly cheaper, but obviously they don't necessarily come with the same toolbox as someone who is very, very experienced. And the third and the last option is really around finding someone basically brand new, or, you know, a lot of businesses do this, bring in on board like an intern or something like that. So bring in someone who doesn't have much understanding and really train them from scratch. Now, for some skills, I definitely don't recommend doing that, right? But that's generally the three options that I look at. And if you are in a situation where you do need someone full time, those are kind of the three areas I would look at, right? Now, there's not a right budget if you say hiring a good copywriter. There's no, you need 10 grand or 20 grand or whatever a month, right? But obviously, if you're looking for an expert, again, I would suggest going out, looking at the market, looking at your circle of your network, and see if there is people that have that skill set and are available for hire, right? Because sometimes it can take a little bit to figure out what would that actually cost to hire a full-time copywriter, right? And again, if that is the case, then you want to talk with the individuals, right? And generally, again, for me, like I always focus on personality and cultural fit above skill set, right? So where I often see people go wrong with expert hires is that they tend to just look at the skills and the track record and not look to see if the human being is actually someone they would like to work with and someone who would fit well in the organization, right? So that's generally the way I prioritize, right? And that's how I generally look at it. Does that make sense? Sorry, Tom, I can't hear you.
Yeah, that's what I focus on as well. I only really look at how the personality is, how good of a human being they are, and there's just a track record of being that, right? So are you still friends with, like, your employer from 10 years ago? You know, things like that, because I can teach skill sets, but you cannot teach loyalty and some of the other parts, right? So I do focus on that, but I also agree that some of the high-end stuff is very hard to train. So, like, I've had this challenge that I've been kind of going over lately, too. Our mutual friend, Dan Andrews, who's been on this podcast, has told me, Tom, you should get an apprentice, right? It's amazing. It's amazing. If you can get it to work, it's amazing. For 2 years, they're going to help you grow your business like nothing else. But then they're probably going to get bored and leave because they're just too good, right? You won't be able to keep them. And I feel like, man, like, I'm going to pay this person, I'm going to develop them. And yes, it'll be amazing for 2 years, but then it's over. You know what I mean?
And realistically, from a business standpoint, like, even though your game and your goal is to retain employees, I mean, reality is they leave. Doesn't matter if they're an intern or an employee. Eventually, sometime life happens and they leave, right? I would actually turn around and say 2 years is not necessarily a deadline, right? Like, I've worked a lot with Empire Flippers, and they, as an example, they bring on a ton of interns, and many of them move on within the business after the sort of intern period, right? But you are 100% correct. Depending on how your business grow and so on, you might not be able to offer them challenges, right? But I know lots of people who have started as interns and actually stayed with that company for a considerable length of time, right?
Yes, so this is a little different. Interns and an apprentice, they're a little bit of a different, you know, thing. Because I get the intern part, but we were talking about an apprentice, which is like, yeah, okay, you know, like a paid person that pretty much, you want to download everything from your brain into their brain so they can pretty much do what you can, which, you know, which is very intensive and time consuming. And if it works, it would be amazing. Could you imagine, right? Like two Mads running around, but not for long, you know?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I kind of look at them a bit. I know it's kind of two different sets, but I look at them very much the same. I mean, the whole point is, if you develop someone like yourself, if you have the opportunity to grow the business big enough for them to still be challenged, there's definitely still clear opportunities, right? But again, for me, this is just as much about the personality. It's as much about, I mean, honestly, it can easily get to a stage where you can't afford to pay them anymore, right? So again, it's very, very depending on the business, but the challenge is it's difficult to predict where you're going to be in 2 years, right? Like we all have visions and goals and things, but even predicting where my businesses are 2 years from now, like if I look back 2 years, I probably would have it 80% wrong, right?
I agree with that, yeah. I mean, I'm the same. But that's what makes it more challenging, right? Because you kind of need to have these KPIs or metrics, right? Like you need to sort of think like, okay, in 2 years, it's going to be worth me training this person to get to whatever stage. Because if you don't know what stage you're going to be in, you know what's going to happen. Like, it's like, why should I even train them? Because it's everything's random. So it's definitely hard. There's a lot of uncertainty. But I find like getting an apprentice, it kind of brings even more uncertainty in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I look at human beings as resources. I don't really care too much about what label you put on them. Because if you hire an individual employee, so let's say you hire someone at the same level skill set wise as an apprentice, and you have them within your company, you still have to teach them, you still have to grow them. Like I see it as a resource, right? And really for me, it's more a question of what can you afford in terms of skill set versus what is like, or aka what's your potential upsides if you get someone in, and can you get a very positive ROI on that within a short time frame, etc. So for me, I look at it a lot more like resources, right? And I think people, whatever tags you put on them, whatever type of job role or whatever, like I've definitely hired people who are significantly less capable than interns that have just walked into my business, right? Mm. On the other hand, I've also hired people who were 10 times as capable as someone getting paid 10 times their wage. Right. So the thing is with people, with human beings, I find it always hard to put sort of direct labels on and say, oh, do this intern or do this apprentice or hire this expert. Right. Like really, you need to look at what does my business need, what's available around, and does it is it a good fit? I mean, honestly, like I so rarely have anyone leaving my companies. Again, if someone outgrow the company, like I'm more likely to start a new company with that individual or at least be a mentor or coach or something. But like generally I have very, very few people that ever stops working with us. And I think in the long run, I think that's really the objective and the goal, really building a company that can sustain those people and can be what those people need to keep growing, right? Because just like yourself, I mean, you're probably still in your business because it's still fun, you're still learning, it's still growing. And if you really get hold of some really good A players, that's what they want as well, right? They want to keep growing. And I just see too much of the time business owners are like, oh, I hired you to do this thing, you're doing this thing. And even if they want to grow and move on and add more value, they kind of keep them in the role instead of letting them grow further. And I think from my personal experience, that's definitely a big issue for a lot of people.
Yeah, like I said, you know, you have two different types of people you kind of hire. And then, you know, that's why we're talking about the high skill tasks, because some of the other stuff, it's like, you know, if it's making money and it's easy, it's repeatable, it's a system, those are different hires, right? Those are the ones which, yeah, you kind of just go, just do this. Like I have a LinkedIn marketing, you know, piece in my business, which is very simple. You know, we can't automate it just because LinkedIn doesn't allow for automation, but it's not rocket science whatsoever. But it does bring results. So for that, I have a piece like that, but it's more challenging with the other people, right? So like in my business, yeah, you're right. Employees don't really leave. I've had people for 6-7 years with me, and they've actually moved, you could say, through the different companies that I've, you know, created or changed. Like they just, you know, they found their roles in the new company. But I still feel it's challenging for a lot of people who are delegating, because I speak to them, they're my listeners, and you know, they can't keep the people, they hire the wrong people. You know, they ask me, how did you manage to get these people that stick with you for so long? And I just don't really know. I'm not, you know, not an expert. I give some basic advice, But I think you might be able to enlighten a little more.
Yeah, so I mean, honestly, from my standpoint, people are so good at investing in skills. Like if they have a copywriter, they invest in copywriting courses and things. If they have a Facebook ad guy, they buy Facebook courses. If you know how few people actually promote people into management positions, but never actually invest in the management training, right? Mm. And because of what I do, like I see it constantly, like people get so much bigger ROIs on actually investing in management training than pretty much anywhere else, right? Because both for themselves, but sometimes what happens is the business owners actually get pretty decent at management, right? But the people below them don't really grow, or they, you know, they're suddenly like, oh, you're great at link building, you're now the manager of the link building team.
Yeah.
And I see it every single day, mate. And it's like, it's rough. And then they're like, oh, this person used to be great. He was great at this stuff, but he sucks as a manager. I'll fire him and find someone else. And I'm like, dude, you never, like, literally haven't given the guy any training, any support. Like, it's great saying, I support you and ask me if you have any questions. But fundamentally, like, if you give someone a new job role, and by the way, being a manager is a totally new mindset. It's a totally new job role, right? And I mean, it's so critical to actually invest in your people and show them that trust, right? And that's, I mean, we built a course specifically, originally it was actually built for business owners, but I see so many business owners now actually buying that course for their managers and their management teams. And it's so nice to see that some people actually, you know, they wake up and they're like, hey, wait a minute, what if I actually do this investment in a team, right? And I mean, the results I've personally seen from the companies I work with and trained has been phenomenal. Like number one thing is all these people, you know, when they get promoted, they're so afraid to tell their boss, hey, boss man, I'm not very comfortable with this thing. Because they're like, oh, I just got promoted to a manager. I should know what I should do. So I'll pretend like everything is great, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of them are really so hesitant about asking questions and about like, yeah, I mean, they keep going around things the way they were as an individual contributor, and it rarely, rarely works well, right?
So, I've made that mistake in the past too, in the beginning. I actually had a real good coder and I said, would you like to be a manager? And, you know, he didn't really say yes or no. But we tried it for 2 weeks. He just wasn't, you know, and at the end I asked him, I was like, look, you're not going to get, you know, fired or like get a lower wage or anything, but do you want to keep doing this? He said, no, I want to go back to coding. So, you know, we actually found people from the outside with the personalities who are made better for management, and everyone's happy, right? But I did make the mistake of just, you know, getting my best guy and being like, look, you can manage if you want.
And I mean, what I would say is, a lot of the time, the problem is you hadn't started developing that guy towards management, right? So what happens is in the successful, really top businesses you see around, like what happens is that they start much before they're like, hey, do you want to be a manager? They actually start developing those people and their management skills. So when the day comes and they're like, hey, are you ready to be a manager? They already have a ton of the skill set. Because being honest, like if you can learn SEO, if you can learn copywriting, if you can learn Facebook ads, you can learn management. Like it's skill sets, it's processes, it's ways of doing things. Like I'm not saying everyone's gonna be absolutely great at it, and I'm definitely not saying everyone will enjoy it equally, but I know so many people with any different type of personality type that have learned management and become really, really good at it, right? And majority of time, the reason why people don't like management is because they don't know what to do. And if you suck at something and don't know what to do, it's often not very fun.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that too.
So, I mean, that's I see it consistently, and I see it, yeah. Sometimes I just see totally amazing individuals being totally crushed under that boss, right? Because they get this management job and they don't know what to do, right? And it's, I mean, often it's not even a lot of the skills, right? I mean, our course that I developed is, I call it 80-20 of management, right? And I think it's like 3-4 hours video or something, and it's not that time intensive, but it's a lot of stuff that's so important to understand, right? And most business owners start to understand a lot of it, right? I mean, delegation is probably one of the key things, because what happens is when you're doing really, really well in a job, it's based on what you do as an individual. So for example, if you have a really, really good developer, he's appreciated because of what he does as an individual. However, the second he steps into a managerial position, it stops being about his individual skill set, and it starts being about the team around him and what they can deliver. And that's two fundamentally different mindsets. And if you haven't learned that, and if you haven't worked on that, you keep thinking it's just about what you do. And what happens is people keep doing what they used to do before they were a manager. They work harder, they work more hours, they try and cover up for everyone else. So if someone else isn't doing the job, they're trying to do that work for them, etc. And the thing is that very, very, very rarely turns into a good manager. And because they don't have the management understanding, they really lack that delegation to start to let go of some of their previous core roles. And they often continue just being someone who works a lot more. And in the end of the day, get stressed and don't deliver great management work, right?
Yeah, I mean, now when you mention it, you know, when I think of myself, I'm probably a better leader than a manager. It's very different, you know, trying to look at your team as resources and make sure they get things done, and then, you know, separating the tasks and things like that, then moving the actual business forward, you know, having a vision and like, okay, let's come up with this stuff, let's try this, let's try that. Those are two very different personalities. Yeah, I've never really thought about management training, but it does make sense, because, you know, these skill sets that I kind of learned the hard way, they're just skill sets, you know, they're not anything special.
And that's, I mean, from my point of view, the number one thing that any manager needs to practice and develop is the communication skills, right? Because with yourself, you can be a pretty crap communicator and still do amazing work yourself. But when you have to start working on getting other people to do amazing stuff, that takes really good ability to communicate with people around you, right? Different types of people and communication skills. It's the only one skill I would say that I recommend absolutely every individual to work on if they want to be a business owner, a manager, or an entrepreneur, because it's the one skill that it's so critical everywhere in your business and your life everywhere. And it's one of those things that the more you improve it, the better it is. I mean, I'm a typical example of someone who was a typical nerd of some kind. Like I never learned to develop, but I easily could have gone down the developer route and spent my life staring into a screen. Mm-hmm. But the key thing I learned was really around communication. And that was why I initially became so successful in management, because I understood how to communicate with developers and I understood how to communicate with the other business managers. And the number one thing, particularly in large organizations, is you have these reporting teams and development teams and no one understands what the hell they're saying, right? So actually the ability to even connect between different types of people, even similarly connect, understand what marketing people and sales people are saying and connect that to what, for example, developers or product people or the likes are saying, like, that's really a skill, and it really requires communication besides basic knowledge of what those people are doing, right?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, communication skills are definitely on the top of the list. Like, I don't think they're a soft skill anymore. I think it's a necessary thing. And, you know, I've been in sales for so long and doing this podcast and other things, which, they've been helping me build that skill for a long time, so I kind of take it for granted. But it's definitely, it's not as easy. Like, I think that's why my coder could not and did not want that role, is because he's not a very good communicator, right? He'll listen, he'll do his thing, he'll do it great. But if you ask him to, you know, deal with other people and stay on top of him and talk with them, he's just like, yeah, that's not my thing. So, I think it's a personality issue a bit too, but it's definitely, you know, not having that skill set will stop you from a lot of these different positions.
Yeah, for sure. So, sorry, Tom, one second. I have my doorbell ring. Sorry, man. I have some delivery, dude.
No, it's all good. It's all good. All right, Matt. It's been great having you on. Where can people find you?
Matsingers.com is my main website. And I'm pretty much everywhere on the social media. So we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all that good stuff. But the website is where most people find me. Also, email mass@matsingers.com. It's the best place to reach.
And thanks for coming on.
Been a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Tom.
Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.